mocker. I'm hungry, I'm the hunger winner. I eat 16 salted crackers, then I lick my fingers. Well, every morning I deliver the...
Hey, 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 how's it going? Back. Back. Yes.
Back to the future.
Back to the future. What?
It's the one and only.
It's the one and only. What are we?
Carolyn and Joe.
Carolyn and Joe Show. We are back. It must be Tuesday. It must be Wednesday. It must be Thursday. It must be Friday. It must be every single day. It is us. The Riotous Two. The best on the internet that you guys have ever heard in your whole entire life. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Yes, it is. The Carolyn and Joe Show. How are you guys doing out there? Welcome to our little corner of the internet in which we just let it out. We give you that little peek that, you know, maybe you want to hear, maybe you don't want to hear. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going pretty swell, I have to say.
Nice.
It is is Tuesday, and...
You just celebrated a birthday.
I did.
Over the past weekend. I'm excited. I'm always excited about your birthday. I'm always excited about your birthdays.
It was rainy, and it was Earth Day, so I value the Earth. So I was like, you know, the animals need some water, and the plants need some water.
Yeah.
So, you know, occasionally you do need to have one of those rainy days.
Yeah, that's true.
So I was, you know, it was like one of those days that you can't really go outside, and everyone's like huddled in reading a book. Hopefully one of our books.
Would you say that you're, oh yeah, that's right, curls-studio.com, astrayproductions.com. If you guys want to support us in any way, fashion, check out some of our work, and maybe we'll meet up with you in the future. Maybe buy some comics. Check out the curls comic strip that comes out every still every Monday and Thursday, or Monday and Thursday. So if you want to support us, buy some of our stuff. Check some of our stuff out. Just let the world know.
There's a crazy strip going on right now.
Yeah,
that has turtleneck and some salsa.
That's right. So definitely, I think you should check it out.
And maybe, just maybe, on Thursday, I might give you the recipe for my salsa.
That would be absolutely awesome.
Now, you've had the salsa before.
Oh, yeah, I have?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm really excited about that then. So this is going to be
were, like, not feeling well when you ate it, I think.
Yeah, but that still means I enjoyed it, though. So that's always a...
Like, did you really enjoy it, or are you just saying that?
I felt like I enjoyed it. I mean, like... Yes, it's true. If you guys have been following my Tumblr or anything I've done online, I slightly disappeared because I was a little bit, I wasn't sick. I'd always do 100% and put on this show, but the amount of energy to constantly update online every single day,
it
gets a little bit tiring. And like, just, you know, a couple weeks ago, I felt ill. I'd say it's pretty much equivalent to when Batman got defeated by Bane. First they took out they destroyed your mind, then they took you out physically. So that's how the attack was on me. Like, I felt like, you know, my brain was like, it almost felt like someone was destroying and crushing my brain.
It's interesting, whenever you're sick, you always like act like it's nothing, or like you act like you're not sick, and I like can blatantly tell, like I'm like, yeah, you're sick.
Well, see, like the main thing is
you're like, no, I'm not, I'm good.
See, one thing that happens to me, like when I'm sick, I mean, it's no secret, I hate whenever I even don't feel 100%. Like, I feel like I'm one of those people that, like, if I feel like an inch sick, I'm like, man, my body let me down, and I'm not gonna let that happen. I mean, I don't know if this is ego or what, but if my body starts to fail, I get mad at my body. I'm just like, fuck you,
there's
man.
There's only been like two times that I can distinctively remember where you were just like in the total down and outs. One of them was at New York Comic Con. I forget which year it was.
And that's how
was
I
it 2009.
I don't know, but that's exactly how I sort of referenced what happened to me. I was like, oh, I feel just as bad. Like this feels exactly like the New York Comic Con like effect.
Basically it hit your head.
Yeah,
you have a headache that is just like a monster.
It is
headache, just like some monster inside your brain.
It is possibly the worst headache that you can possibly feel in your whole entire life. Like, I swear to you, it's the type of headache that destroys your equilibrium. It's the type of headache where you physically are taken out mentally, you know.
And then
I mean?
I ask you, like, okay, the one at New York, we were like in need of food because I'm like, well, you know, we've been traveling all day. I don't remember if it was the day that we actually drove up on that day or not, but like, you know, there's a lot of travel involved,
yeah.
And getting around and setting up the booth and like dealing with the whole Comic-Con crowd.
Yeah.
So that's when it
dealing with
you.
The whole Comic-Con crowd. What's yeah. that mean?
I mean, like a whole bunch of people. You don't like you don't have access to like your basic necessities. Like yeah. if you're at home, it's not like you can just grab a tissue or something.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And, you know, it hit you. And then at night I was like, well, we need to get food. Cause there was a time like when we went to conventions where we pretty much didn't eat like the whole day.
Yeah.
Unless like somebody brought us nachos or something. Like we'd pretty much not bring our own food and not eat.
Yeah.
Which is pretty dumb. Like I suggest anyone that's doing conventions now, like at least bring like a bag full of cereal or like, you know, anything just like to keep you going halfway through the day, that would even be like so helpful. It doesn't even have to be a full meal, but just like a bag full of snacks or yeah. something and some water, and then that'll keep you motivated. But so anyway, I think on this particular day we didn't like have anything to eat, and it was probably like 7 or 8 p.m. maybe later.
I mean, and also,
and so like, we were like hanging out at the McDonald's, and so I was like, Joe, are you hungry? And you're just like basically brain dead. And so, like, I still feel like we need to eat something. You can't just, like, not eat the whole day.
See, it's always, it's difficult to describe this this headache as opposed, I mean, I guess I could try to describe it as a, as basically, like, your brain being crumbled like foil. And the thing...
Is there, like, a hammer of somebody hitting you in the head?
It's literally, like, you can't do anything. But also, what happens is it affects... To me, it affected like my sleep, because like when I got this headache, I was, for one, me being who I was, I still had to work. I still had to go do some shoots, like every you know, surprisingly every single day, you know. And me being the guy I am, I can't really announce, oh, I'm sick, I can't do the shoot, or else I don't get paid. So that's sort of the toughness of like a freelancer. You don't have any sick days as a freelancer, because those sick days is money lost and clients mad. You know what I mean? So like in my head, I'm like, well, I gotta tough this out no matter how bad my headache is. And the funny thing is, when I went to bed, I was completely fine. There was it almost felt like a radioactive spider or something bit me, and I got a knot, like it bit me, and then somehow throughout the course of the night, I just got destroyed.
So the most current illness happened when you woke up.
Yeah, I woke up and I was fucked up. Like, it was, yeah. Like,
okay, that's the worst type of headache, when you like just straight up wake up and you have a headache.
Yeah, I went to bed fine. I was like, wow, I'm gonna go rock this day out tomorrow. I was completely fine. And taking consideration, you know, maybe, you know, it was cold that day, you know, like the day I had to shoot again that day before. And I got, you know, we had to get there early. I was feeling good, but it was, I guess it was cold, and I wasn't wearing that good enough shirt, but it wasn't like I was outside the whole time. But when I was outside, it was cold, but I wasn't feeling sick, and I didn't feel bad that whole entire time. I was in traffic. That's one thing. I might even contest this to being in traffic. I was in traffic on the way down there, and that, there's something about, like, when you're in traffic...
Was this the day of the space shuttle when you were
sick? No. This is like 3 days. This is already a week away from that. This is when I had a shoot. Basically, this is when I had breakfast at Ben's Chili Bowl. Going down there, you know, we didn't have enough time to jump onto the HOV lane. So, of course, we had to stay there in traffic the whole time. Now, there's a mentality that happens. And I always say that DC is a great city, except for the people and the traffic. Those two combinations makes a massive headache. And I had to deal with both of those that day.
Dave Navarro says that he hates three things. And it's... people, traffic, and parking.
Yes.
I don't know if that's in the specific order, but it sounds good to me.
But I'd have to say that I might contribute my massive headache and brain aneurysm to being in traffic, and like not helping the situation. So I went, you know, that day. So we were in traffic in the morning. And already I was, you know, when you want to drive, your mind is set to like just drive. But when you can't do that, it gets so fucking frustrating. Like when you're like, I want to just go 80 miles per hour right now. And you can't, you got to be freaking fucking slow as shit. And you're like, oh, I can't stand this. I just can't. Like, and your brain starts to really, really get mad. Now, you know, so we got through that. I was already like, all right, this, you know, it already got to me because I was excited. And when you get excited and you get shut down, it affects you. Got in there. Surprise, we had Ben's Chili Bowl. That was great. Or again, had to wait. You know, it was a shoot. you know, you got to carry stuff, blah, blah, blah. It's a shoot. You use up a lot of energy. On the way back, had to deal with traffic again. Because we're like, oh, well, let's go to Best Buy. You know, I have to go buy something in Best Buy. I was thinking about buying the Edge DVD. But thought we're going to now we got to find parking in DC. Because there's a Best Buy just several blocks away. Like, I literally could have just parked in the garage I was at and just walked over there. But I was like, no, let's drive over there. And then the traffic was so bad just to get to those blocks, just to get those couple blocks. I was just like, well, fuck it. Let's just get out of here, man. Let's just drive back and go to the Best Buy in Springfield. So at that point, we're back on the highway and, of course, slammed with traffic once again. Now, I'm going to contribute this.
This is all adding up to your headache.
This is all adding up to just like, fuck this shit. You know what I mean? So, like, mentally, it becomes tiring. And so we got what we needed. And then, you know, of course, while watching the DVD at night, I fell asleep and everything was fine. And then, you know, I didn't have a lot of sleep going on before that. So I guess I was like really extremely tired and I was just trying to no sell it. I was trying to be tough and be like, well, I got another shoot in the morning. I don't care. Let's keep going. So I woke up in the morning. Fucked up. My brain was just like absolutely annihilated. I was like, and I didn't know why, but I was just like, well, I gotta keep going. And then, like, you know, I gotta keep going. Let's see, I got like an hour and a half to drive literally 30 minutes. I was like, I got way enough. I got so much time. I'm gonna take my time to get in there. An hour and a half to drive 30 minutes. No, traffic, bam, brain dead, fucked up, you know. And I was in there and it's all so frustrating. And as I get closer and closer, I'm like, crap, like that, you know, because for one thing, I was like, all right, going in, I was like, there's no way it's going to take me an hour and a half to get 30 minutes to DC. I was wrong. It took that whole entire hour and a half. One situation was this. In my head, I was excited because I was already tired. My head hurt. And I was like, well, I'm going to be okay because I'm going to arrive at my shoot early, 30 minutes early. So I'll find parking and I'll just take a nap there and rest. Didn't happen. I got there exactly when my shoot was supposed to happen. And I'm still trying to find parking. And finding parking in DC? No, absolutely not. And I was like, no, I don't want. It's only this amount of time. There's no way I'm not gonna pay this amount. Fuck that. I had to pay $24 for parking. It was the freaking lamest thing. It was like a parking garage, right? A block away from what I need to do, where I need to be. And I found a perfect parking spot, but the way it was behind a cop car, and I think it was handicapped, but I don't remember. And I was like, standing there, I was like, is this real? Is this fake? I can't do it. My brain's fucked up. So I was already in a hurry, and I had to spend those $24 to get that parking. So I'm already brain fried. I didn't get the nap that I wanted. So everything is just contributing to me being consistently worn down and worn down. And not helping the help my health at all. And then it was cold and windy, and I had to deal with numerous amounts of people that didn't know, that would tax my brain even further. So everything is just destroying and just pounding me down even further. And I had to walk from that area, from basically the museum to the Capitol, to Union Station, then back to the Capitol. You know, to do all these shoots on Capitol Hill, to all the photographing all on Capitol Hill. And I was so tired. And my brain was just so tired. And I was trying to stay healthy because it was cold. It was literally like windy and cold.
How were you staying healthy?
I was trying.
Did you have a scarf?
I was like totally buckled in. And
did you drink orange juice?
I did drink orange juice. I drank pineapple juice. I was trying to like carb up, but for like juices and stuff like that. And everyone felt that it was cold too, but like in my head I was like, this is just making me worse. And then I have to visualize and like communicate, and I was like, I can't do this. And also, for one thing, like, I don't know if people could see me on my shoot, but like whenever I would kneel down, like whenever my head went from standing at my standing position to kneeling down to get something from my case that had all my gear in it, like my head would be like the worst. It'd be so painful just to crouch down. It's like almost like my brain had to catch up to me being at a lower frequency of the ground, and I just like went so much in pain. I was like, oh, this hurts so much just to kneel down. Just to kneel down. My head hurt so much just to kneel down. You know, it was punishing. It was so punishing. But on the way back, I was like, all right, there can't be any traffic. Boom, fucked up. Got hit with traffic all over the place. It was so bad. And then when And it was so bad to
You're sure selling people on DC. All the people who want to move here.
Yeah, screw that. I'm telling a story. But at that moment, I knew, like, you know, I'm trying to tough it out. I'm like, if I can just make it home, I'll be able to tough it out. But see, now it started to affect my awakeness. It's almost like I had a concussion, but I didn't get a head, like I didn't have any head trauma. But that's what it felt like. It felt like it was just pushing me to go to sleep. And the scary part of this is that, like, I was literally like falling in and out of sleep while driving, like in a straight line.
In and out of sleep.
And then like when I was, and there was one there's one situation where I would I would fall asleep and I would drift over. And that's like really scary because I could possibly run into the medium and just crash. So that's when I was like, crap, I gotta stay awake because my car's gonna drift and do that. And there was one instance where I was so close to hitting that pole, that stop sign or whatever in the medium. Like, I woke up and I was like probably half a second away from nosediving right into the medium. But the last split second I turned and my back wheel hit the edge, like the front edge, like it just bopped up. And I was like, ooh, it doesn't get any fucking closer than that. I was like, it doesn't fucking get any closer than that. Like, literally, my
back. Do you think that a guardian angel saved you?
I have no clue, but literally imagine like your back end. Like, it's so close that like, it's so close that only your back wheel like hit that and your front turned. So it's like, you know how that's like less than a second. Yeah, it was inches away. And I was like, oh shit, I gotta stay up. And as soon as I got back, I just collapsed in bed. And then, you know, because at that moment I was like, all right, I need to sleep. I need to get this out of my head. But the problem is when I sleep, it's almost as if my brain is trying to solve infinite problems that don't exist. You know what I mean? It's like imagine that anxiousness you have when you have something the next day, and you're like, oh my god, I'm so excited, and you're dreaming about it. Imagine this times 20, and then you're trying to relive the day before, but you're trying to do problem solve everything that possibly can go wrong, and nothing's happening, and it's just this constant cycle, and you're constantly trying to solve it, and you're like, fuck no, it's not working. We gotta keep going. You know, and it's just like this constant circle of just chaos problem solving in your brain of a problem that you can never solve. And I was like, that's not solving my that's not helping me sleep. That's like living 10 days while sleeping in your own, like while trying to sleep. And like my brain was just screwed from that point.
You died, Jack.
I literally died that day. So I was like, I need to.
So which was worse, the New York Comic Con one or last week?
Probably at this point, this one, because the New York Comic Con one, I think I recovered quicker than that. But this one, I just got nailed with more work on top of work.
There was no recovery.
So there was, there was absolutely no recovery after that. So like, so what happens then is that since I'm mentally weak and I have a lot of sleep, then it basically what happens, it just opens the door for everything else to come attack me. You know what I mean?
So what percent are you at now?
I feel like right now I'm fine.
You're 100%.
I'm never 100%. I'd say like I'm 95% ready to go. I always have like, I still am dealing with like earness. I'm still dealing with like, because it was probably like first my throat got attacked. Well, first my brain, then my head. And then I guess I had a fever and I broke a fever. And then after that, then I had to deal with being hit with a cold. And then that affected my nose. And then me trying to solve that the way my body is, the nose sinuses shifts over to my ear sinuses. So then I can't fucking hear and I can't breathe. And then I can't breathe because I'm short of breath. You know what I mean? And then now dealing with like lack of sleep. So it's just constant attack after attack, and I'm here just trying to mentally fight back, because I feel like if I could I feel like half the battle is getting your mind to heal. So I'm sitting there trying, like, I need to fucking heal. Quit fucking around, Joe. Heal. Like, just heal. Like, I'm just like wishing to heal. And then, you know, one by one they get better. So I feel like I'm better now than I was. I almost felt like I was incomprehensible at that point. It's great.
I'm glad that you're 95%.
You gotta experience that and understand how to fight it back.
Hot 95.
Yes, hot 95. So sorry I haven't been updating lately, ladies and gentlemen, but
I'm sure
that's what we do.
You know, everyone's busy, so I'm sure they're like, man, where's Joe's updates?
My true honesty is that people don't fly and give a fuck. But for those,
everyone's like, so busy, so
probably for that, those millions of people that don't give a flying fuck, for those people that do, I'm gonna keep on. I'm gonna keep on trying to do what I do.
you're gonna do what you do.
Yes, I'll make it sound like there's so many people depending on me. But I, you know, if people find what I do entertaining, I'm gonna keep going. But what's interesting about this is that while I was healing, and not really like not posting because I was tired, I didn't really miss it as much. But it was interesting to see how many people were like posting and stuff like that. So it was always it was sort of like there was that moment where I was like, man, I can actually just not post and be happy. you know what I mean?
Like, I was away for a little bit and like, you know, a little bit disconnected online. And like, it kind of felt good though, because I'm like, man, I didn't really miss much of anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what I missed. And then like, basically, I don't know, in a way it kind of made me feel like you don't have to always be updating like every hour. Like, no one cares, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh, I'm doing this now. Like, but I think certain personalities that like need that to keep them motivated. They want to always announce what they're doing.
Well, for me, I make a set schedule of stuff I'm going to release. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's always that there's the Music Mondays that I help Mr. Bandit produce. And then there's Tuesday with the radio show. You know what I mean? I always try to deliver like new photos and
that's good because it's like a consistent schedule.
Yeah. Though. And I feel like for me personally, I hate breaking that schedule. Those are like personal goals I send myself.
That's a little different though. I'm talking about people that like are constantly updating like everything. Like, oh, I'm watching this TV show.
I think that's bullshit because they're not really. It's like those things, like for me, I feel like I'm giving people entertainment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like other people are just like
announcing what they're doing,
but it's not like.
But it's not anything that they actually created necessarily. Yeah,
it's not something that's like, oh, I made this for you guys. Come check it out. It's like, check out this awesome meal I made for myself that you can't have. Fuck you.
I could understand like posting food if it was really something fabulous. Like, say you made a birthday cake for like your kid or something, and you're like, yeah. Hey, this is awesome birthday cake. Only if it's like super awesome, you know? Like, that's cool, but like sometimes it's like, I just made spaghetti. And I'm like, so what?
Or it's like, I don't feel like going to work this morning. You know,
here's a picture of my Egg McMuffin.
Or yeah, like stuff like that. But that's how, you know, that's how people are. Well, I feel like I want
to. It's a way of getting attention, though. But that's just, like I said, I think it's a personality type. Like, they have to announce what they're doing to make them feel special for whatever reason, which is fine. You know, I'm not going to, like, down.
Yeah, nothing beats feeling special. You know what I mean? Nothing really beats that. And you know what also, nothing beats feeling like shit either and announcing that.
And then, but then, like, also, what if you feel like shit, but you don't announce it? Like, how you weren't I'm so sick like a dog, you know, whatever.
Because
my brain's dying.
Because I feel like that's...
Like, what type of sympathy are you going to get from that? Like, I wouldn't even want anyone to know that I'm sick.
See, if I were to announce that, I feel like that's looking for sympathy.
Exactly.
It's sort of like, I'm sick, guys.
Like I said, like, looking for attention.
It's like, I'm bored. Help me be sick. It's like, fuck that. That's like, my goal is not to tell people I'm sick. My goal is to make
so many people announce that they're sick,
and no one really out there is saying stuff to make other people feel better unless some supposed hot chick is like, oh, my boyfriend left me. And then of course fucking millions of guys who want to get in their panties.
Does that happen
all the time?
They announce it, my boyfriend left me.
Or they do shit like this. A lot of girls would do, like, they'll say it cryptically. It's like, I hope you're happy with them. Hope you deserve that bitch. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? But they won't say names. For me, if you're not going to say names, don't fucking do it then. Don't be a pussy about it.
Wow. So let me get your advice on this.
I'm not really the best to give advice, but I'll give my opinion.
Okay, let me get your opinion on this.
I hope.
I don't know the best way to really describe it, but like...
What's that?
Let's put it this way.
What's that?
I feel like I have been trying to reach out to people, like maybe not like recently within like the past few months, but let's say like a year ago. I tried to like really reach out to people and like, hey, be like, hey, let's eat lunch or let's eat dinner on this, you know, day, and try to get some momentum going and like meet people and, you know, stuff like that. And mostly
just to branch out.
And mostly females, like just to be like, hey, you know, because like, I guess, you know, I've been out of high school for a while, and you don't see your friends like every hour after every class, like at the locker.
Sometimes we just see our friends on this podcast.
Yeah, like we don't really get to like see each other every other day as much anymore. And It's not as easy and everybody's working.
It's hard to reconnect or just to keep the momentum going like it used to be when you see everyone every single day on school or work.
Yeah. So basically I've been trying to build not necessarily a club, because it's not I'm more of a one-on-one type person.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to build up, let's say, a network of young ladies and females so we can get together for dinner and stuff.
Like a club.
But it's not all together.
Like a society.
No, but it's just me with somebody eating dinner.
What would you call
that? It's not a club, though. It would be more of
I'd say a club has to have memberships.
Exactly. This isn't a club. And also the different people that I've asked to eat dinner with me aren't I'm not too sure if they all know each other necessarily. But anyway, so the messed up thing about it is, and I think in all honesty, I really had a good time with everybody.
Yeah.
And
what do you mean you had a good time with everybody?
I would go eat dinner with them again. I would do it again.
Yeah.
Not to the point where it's I didn't like her, I'm not going to ever talk to her again. It was nothing went horribly wrong. In my opinion, I thought that everyone had a good time and stuff. But the thing is most of the time it always ends like this. It's be like, oh, wow, this is really fun. We should do this again.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, sure. No. Yeah. Just let me know whenever you're free. That type of thing.
Yeah.
And then I never hear back from these people. So in my head, I'm like, was it that sucky that you don't want to have dinner? But then you mentioned physically in person to my face that you're this is fun. We should do it again.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what is that, just something people say?
Well, I mean,
and then on top of it, I'm not going to call out any names, and I hope that this person's not listening, but this is...
Why not? I hope they're listening.
This is it's probably over a year and a half ago that this happened.
Yeah.
Because we met a couple times for dinner. I probably met her maybe three times for dinner. But the last time...
Just as friends.
Yeah, just as friends.
I'm not trying to make it sound like it.
This isn't some type of dating thing. So this is why I feel when people talk about their dating experiences on eHarmony or something, and no one calls them back or something. I'm what's going on? But anyway, we probably met three times just for dinner, just for friends, talking, and everything's great, and we've already been together three times, so it's not just a one-time deal. Anyway, so this time she was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot my wallet at home, and she's like, I don't have money to pay for it, and I was like, and then I was like, oh, it's not that big a deal, a meal's probably $10-$12, And then I was like, no, she's like, I can, well, first she was like, I can drive back to my place and get my wallet real quick and come back. And then in my head, I was like, yeah, that's going to take an extra 20 minutes and I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I was like, I don't want you driving without your license too. I don't know about you, but I always have my wallet with me.
I mean, you sort of need your identification.
I wouldn't go to a dinner without it, really. I don't know. I'd have to be really spaced out to have my wallet.
How do you forget your wallet when you know you're going to a dinner?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
You know what I mean? It's sort of like...
I have never lost my wallet.
Oh, here's the real question. How do you expect to pay for this meal without this wallet?
And also, how do you expect to not have your license with you?
How do you,
if you get pulled over?
How do you expect to look at the menu and be like, oh, I can afford that. Wait a minute, I don't have my wallet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's how it started out. She was just like, oh, I have to warn you, I don't have my wallet with me. Maybe I should go get it.
Was this before the meal or after the meal?
Yeah, this is right when we got met at the restaurant.
Yeah, okay, so maybe she knew that ahead of time.
Yeah, so I guess who knows? Maybe she was running out of her apartment real quick and totally forgot. I have no idea.
Because that happens to me too. I have my wrong coat, that had my wallet in it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Give her benefit of the doubt. Maybe that happened. So then, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I don't really feel waiting 20 minutes for you to come back just so you have your wallet, and then, and I was like, no, don't worry about it, I'll pay, and I was like, we'll do lunch again and, or dinner again, and you can pay for me next time.
Yeah.
We already agreed on that, and then it was fine, and then we talked, and we had a good time, and then it's just bye, see you later, and I never, heard anything from her. We emailed a couple times.
So what you're saying is since after this meal, in which, now in this situation, since you paid for her meal in this because she forgot her wallet, it's almost like in that situation it's expected to have another meal in which she would treat you.
Yeah, and you're supposed most to, likely, hopefully within maybe 3 months.
Yeah. or next, or the week after that, or whatever.
I mean, we don't meet like weekly, but like, you know, like this is a person I probably saw like 3 times a year.
Yeah.
Like outside of our usual network.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I would expect like 3 months later or less, you know, like would reciprocate, you know, you'd be like, hey, you know, I owe you a dinner. Let's go on Wednesday, you know, whatever. But she like never reciprocated. But then I emailed her a couple times about like just, you know, stuff. And then, you know, she replied back to all of it. And then like, you know, after a few emails, I basically like asked her about it. I was like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And we were whatever we're talking about. And then at the very end, I'm like, hey, we should have dinner sometime. Remember, you owe me a dinner.
Yeah.
Like never heard back.
See, now brings that awkward situation.
And it's only like $10 to $12. It wasn't like some fancy meal. It was just like regular dinner at a Mexican restaurant.
And you gotta also like understand that like in a way, it's sort of tough to bring that up. Because it's someone like, oh, remember you owe me a dinner. Let's go. You know, it's weird because it's almost like you want to say that you owe me a dinner, but at the same time, you don't want to say it and you want them just to realize it after you've had the dinner. Because it's sort of tough because, like, when you say, like, oh, yeah, you owe me a dinner, if I were to read that, I would be, like, it's almost like you saying, like, you owe me something. Let's go
no,
do
it. No, they wrote it
but
in a fun way.
No, but hold on. But what I'm saying in response to that is, like, you're in the right for saying that to remind her, but also in the way the world works that I realize, at least from my perspective, is that... like, no one wants to be told that, like, oh, you owe me something. Because then you're like, oh, now she's asking me. You know what I mean? Even though I know I owe her, but she has to do it in
like,
my time.
You owe it to me.
No, I know that. But, like, even for me, whenever I've had to, like, ask for money for people who owe me money for, like, over 90 days. And, you know, it's just in the right to be like, well, you know, the contract says, you know, 30 days.
Maybe
and you
I
said
need
90 days.
Contracts for my dinners.
No, but what I'm saying is that, like, sometimes... It's weird how it will get flipped because they owe you something, but just the simple fact of you asking for it will start to make them guess like, oh, why do they deserve it? I know I owe them this, but why they gotta be on my ass about it? But then they're like, you know, depending on the person, they can be like, well, I guess it's been this long amount of time. I do owe them that. Or they can be like, shh, the gall of them to actually ask something of me. They're lucky I even took the time to do anything.
But like, I thought like we already discussed earlier that like...
Sure.
That she would pay for the next one.
But here's the thing.
You know?
Here's the thing.
Like, it was blatantly out there.
Here's the bullshit of the world. It's like the more that time passes, that there's nothing reciprocated, the more it becomes like an annoyance for everybody.
Well, see, now I'm at the point where I never asked again and like, you know, we never, I don't know, it just kind of like nothing ever happened and she never asked me to like go out for dinner. And I don't, like, part of me was like, is it me? Am I like a horrible person to eat dinner with? But then I'm like, I thought about it and I was like,
though,
no, I'm not. I'm like, really, if you can't stand an hour with me, then, you know.
But here's the thing is that like, for me, this always sticks in my mind of like, I watch Angel. Angel's an awesome show. Fifth season of Angel. At this point, Angel and his team have become basically the leaders of Wolfram and Hart LA division. And the leaders, the executives of Wolfram and Hart are saying like, you're becoming a wuss because now people are stepping all over you and they don't trust you in business sense because you're not willing to cut throats or you're not really to take that step. And now no one wants to take meetings with you and stuff like that because you're not taken serious. So what they did was they developed a zero tolerance policy of like, everyone gets one strike. And if you mess up once, you're fired. And that's a way of taking it, getting serious. But that's also, you know, to show that they're serious about it. But also for me, when I heard that, I was like, well, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give people one strike. If you fuck up with me once, that's it. Because majority of the time, you know, not to blow smoke up my own ass, but I'm the one instigating everything. I'm the one instigating like,
exactly.
Hey, let's meet here. Hey, how about this? Even when they're like, oh no, what do you feel like eating? That's like, well, what do you feel? I give them one chance. Well, what do you feel like eating? They're like, I don't know, man. I'm not, you know, I don't really choose that. Okay, I'll choose something. So I just realized throughout just like my whole entire life that I have become a go-to person for people just who want answers. So for me, I'm like, well, how come all this weight is on me, and then I feel like I'm getting fucking screwed because people have turned their back on me, but I'm the one that's setting them up. I'm the one giving them jobs. I'm the one doing this. So I'm like, all right, fuck this. Zero tolerance. You fuck me over once, you're fucking out.
And that's like, see, now that I look back in the timeline of things in this particular scenario, it's been almost 2 years, so I'm not like expecting anything. But then in the back of my head, I'm like, damn, I want those $10, $10, $15 back.
But also for me, it feels like it's like, well, you gave your all for this. Like $10 can come and go. You can find 50 cents a day and have that $10 reciprocated to you. But as long as you know that you did your best at that moment to give the best time, and you gave.
But and also it's like me instigating it. Me being like, hey, you want to have dinner, and hey, and also it's not just that one example. What I guess, but that's like to me the most painful, because like the other person didn't reciprocate back. But the other thing is like this has happened with like I'm not counting, but like maybe like 5 or 6 girls, and it's like they're like, wow, this is really fun, we should do it again, and then like I never hear back from them.
But see, here's the thing, you know, I guess guys and girls are different, but not that different, because that happens to me too. Like, oh, we should do something, specifically me being in the film industry, and I guess being a creative force like I am, which people have seen that we do stuff, and they're always like, oh, we gotta do something. I'm at this point
they
where
just
I'm like,
say we have to do something, but they don't act on it.
I give these people one chance. You know, I'm like, all right, cool. Like, but also a one meeting to do it for real. And here's the thing. If they fuck up on that, you know, and this is me being real, and it's probably really harsh, but I gotta be, you know, I gotta be honest, and I don't want to fucking waste my time anymore. You know what I mean? I don't really want to waste my time with all these people that are, so hold on. I don't want to waste my time, because there's been just trying to get people to show up to be on a film set is one tough thing. And I don't really feel like having to deal with that. I don't, because the truth is there's many other people out there who are who would bust their ass to work or bust their ass to make things happen. And I want to find those people, and I want to build a great relationship with those people. And I don't care if I have to spend $100,000 going through bullshit people to get to that one person, because those real people are worth it. And I want to find those people. And I want to always be connected with those people. And if I find those people and we build a great relationship, I don't want to lose that. I want to be real. If they're freaking about to die, I'll take a fucking bullet for them. That's how important it is for me to have a real relationship. So when I experience a person that's not, you know, not real or just is bullshitting, zero tolerance. I don't have time for that. I'm looking for the real people. You know what I mean?
I don't have time. How much is that like worth? Niceties. Just to be like, oh, this was so fun, let's do it again. I'm like, well, then you fucking reciprocate. No, you know what I mean?
See,
like,
that's
not, or not, like, and then with me, it's always me making all the plans.
Here's the thing. If you took the first step, you don't have to take the second step. If you already busted your ass to get that first part, that's great. You made that great. And you're like, you know, it's been so many times that people have just been sort of like, cool, we got to do it again. My answer is this. Cool, give me a date.
So basically what you're saying is that I need to find better people.
And it's not easy, and I'm not gonna lie, it's not easy. But when you finally meet like those people that are crucial, I say hold on to them, because those are really important ones, and those are probably the ones that are gonna be successful, and it's gonna be totally worth it to build like a relationship with them.
And the other thing is like I have a couple friends that are really busy, and I can tell when people really are busy or when they're just like flaky. But you know, so like that's the other thing. It's like, well, if you have, you know, something that you need to work on, I understand.
But that's another annoying thing, is people will assume that we're too busy for them. But just like The Rock says, just like exactly how The Rock says, my plate may be full, but I can always make room. Can you?
Yeah.
That's the truth. Some people don't even know how to make room, because they just don't get
through.
They're
just already overwhelmed, just, you know.
Yeah. Now me, I'm busting my ass almost on my deathbed trying to make these motherfuckers happy. If you're not willing to take that, like, I'm willing to take that step. Are you willing to take that step? Because, like,
I just wish that, like, you know, I guess, like, when I'm asking for your opinion about this stuff, and I know how you're, like, translating it to, like, your film world.
Well, I do more things in film.
I know that.
Because now I'm recording music and photography.
But what
and
I'm
all
saying
that
is that, you're, like, listing your credentials. I'm not talking about, like, all of that. I'm talking about, like, this is, like, more of, like, a personal thing where, like, I'm just trying to look for, like, some ladies to have dinner with a few times, you know, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it
sounds like an eHarmony ad.
I don't know. That's That's what I'm saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was just looking for some ladies. We can have dinner, you know. Like, and after the dinner, I don't know. You know, that's really what it is. That's really what it breaks down to.
No, but like,
after the dinner, let's see where it goes from there.
Exactly. But I'm just like, maybe they have an eHarmony for just like finding friends. But I'm just like trying to look for some women that are like local in the area. And then, like, this really does sound like some...
It is. It sounds exactly sort of just
well,
like...
Well, how are you supposed to find these people? Because also, the other thing is...
How about this?
Is, like, being way too personal, but, like, everything that I've been doing recently has been, like, men-centric. Like, even when I signed up to do the improv classes, there was only me and, like, a couple other ladies, and then when we did our final presentation, they all left, except for me and this one other lady. You know, like the final, you know, improv session?
Yeah.
That we were actually like on stage in DC for?
Yeah.
Yeah. They all like didn't show up. And so it's just like me and this older lady who actually just got cast for Capital Fringe Festival, which is awesome.
Here's the true deal.
But also what I'm saying is like even with the cartoon stuff.
Yeah.
Like there's not as many ladies. And just like everything that I've been doing recently, there's... Like, I just feel like, I'm like, where are all the women? They're like, essentially non-existent.
My opinion on this is that it doesn't really matter. I mean, who cares if what I say is right or wrong? This is my opinion. It doesn't matter, man or woman. What you have to do is just do your thing. If they really want to meet up, they'll come to you.
Exactly.
If they really want to meet up, they'll come to you. But the truth is, don't let them hold you back. Because what's the point? Because you'll realize if you're trying to just find friends just for the sake of getting friends, you'll probably realize that these friends aren't worth it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
You're like, I spent all these years trying for you to get us to hang out, and you lost all this time. Let them jump onto your train. You know what I mean? If they want to do it, they'll make it happen. They'll make that time if they really wanted to. All right, let's go to viewer mail.
Right on. Okay, viewer mail. We should just call this, like, the Al segment because he always has some mail for us.
Fine, let's do it, Al. All
right. Today he writes, question. Why are bookstores on the way out? I know the digital age is here, but I prefer an actual book to an electronic device. Borders closed down and is now getting harder to find physical books in Barnes & Noble. What can we do to stop the decline of actual books?
You can't do anything, Al. It is too late, sir. It is too late. Just like how film has been replaced by digital. I mean, my opinion again is this. Books are not going to disappear. They're just going to become really harder to find.
I think that they're going to be like relics.
But here's
like only the best sellers, like Harry Potter and stuff like that, are going to be always in book format and digital.
Books are going to be special edition, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the truth is this: just because you like something, does not mean it's a moneymaker. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's honest. It's about making money and.
It's also a lower cost point for the companies to produce books, shipping, paper, printing.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So if you were a businessman, if I was a businessman, I would truthfully think like, listen, we can cut our cost because there's these devices now. You know what I mean? It's like, how much is it just to download? You don't have to print anything. You don't have to worry about picture quality.
It's just a file.
It's just a file. And also, for one thing, with all these people trying to be green, now we're getting rid of that. It's all these things are leaning towards that.
Yeah, but books, if you have your computer screen on, doesn't that take up energy?
It does take up energy, but how much room does that take up?
It doesn't take up a whole rainforest.
Exactly. Now, what was this question? How do we stop these? How do we make sure books are always going to be made? Is that what this question was?
How do we stop the decline of actual books?
You can't stop the decline. I'm sorry. I will give you a mad scientist objection of how to stop the decline, though. If you're open to that, Al, I'll give you the villain aspect of really how you want to stop the decline of books. This is the first thing I'll do. Fucking get rid of electricity. I would say, for one thing, candlelight. If you want to get rid of anything digital, fucking remove power. You want to do that? Shut them down. Go back to the printing press so they have to press those books out with own manpower. If you want to do it like that,
Gutenberg style.
Take it to that level. You have to go terrorist on it sometimes if you want to do that. If you're trying to stop the decline of
stop the internet.
If you're trying to stop all that you're going to have to go right to the source. Either you take out these companies or you take out the real way of how people are going to read these books. If you want to be truthful on how to stop the decline of that, you're going to have to get rid of the other source. You're going to have to get rid of the full competition.
I know,
and that
mean.
Competition is digital. You want to get rid of digital? Fuck electricity. Get rid of electricity. But are you man enough to do that? I don't think you are. Because that's going to be a challenge. Because we need electricity. You know, it's no lie that you're probably going to need that.
Yeah, I can't imagine life without electricity. That would be pretty horrible.
Here's one thing. If you really love books so much, go and save up $10,000, right? And get a bomb-ass printer. Get a super bomb-ass printer so you can print out...
It would be more than $10,000.
Whatever. Save up all that money. And if you really love your special edition, because everything is possibly going to be in digital form. They're already in digital form. They just print it out now. If you want to do that, just go and buy a bomb-ass printer and print out everything that you love. Now you don't have to worry about... Now you don't have to worry about buying. You don't even have to worry about going out.
So basically he would download the digital version and then print it out for himself.
And then print it out and for yourself and bind it yourself.
And even more, like taking that a step further, what you could do is like start your own printing company.
Yes.
Which would basically, I know that sounds pretty horrible right now in this economic year of 2012, but if you want to like be one of the perpetrators of like bringing books alive.
Yeah, keep costs low and overprice everything. There you go.
Yeah, you could like be your own printer of books or like publish books maybe.
Yeah, even. But in all truthfulness, Al, little kids these days have iPads.
Yeah.
They don't know what the fuck books
are. It's pretty crazy.
I'm not saying I love books. I can hold it in my hand and it tastes great, smells great, and it's amazing. But in all truthfulness, you got to look towards what the future is and what they're buying.
I think we're like being bypassed. Our generation is the last.
We're not being bypassed.
We are, because the kids that are younger now, if they get like basically all these young kids think that books are very archaic and like dirty and gross. They don't want to touch them. They're more attracted to a device that has games on it and colors,
you know,
and
that's
things moving in their face.
And that's another point, Al. If you want to fight the decline of books for these, the first thing is make books attractive for these kids out there.
That's a good idea.
If you can make that happen, they will buy those. But here's the main problem. They will buy many and thousands of books. Where do you plan on putting those books?
I guess you'd need a warehouse. See, that's the whole thing about like the cost of being a publisher now.
So here's,
like, it would be like that takes up like a whole garage.
Maybe we should build another idea. Maybe we should develop a whole entire digital book. Where you can plug in the digital media into a blank book. But what will happen is it will translate itself into the book, so you can program it to be like, oh, I'm going to read issue number 4 now of Spider-Man. And when you open up the book, it's issue 4. But it's like this perfect type of technology
like as if it's
that
printed on the
yeah,
paper.
As if it's printed on page. So you get that experience over and over again, but you can change. You can upload different ones into the book. We'll call it a digital. I don't know what the fuck we're gonna call it. We'll call it a real book. We'll call it whatever the fuck. But you get the idea. A digital book that's actually a book, but you can change all the content in it. Boom. That's how you solve it.
How do you create that?
I don't know. It's not my problem.
It's Al's problem now.
It's your problem, Al. There's a chance for millions. See, that's the thing. If you want to make a solution, if you want to make any solution, think of the craziest fucking idea out there. Go to that mad scientist level, because that's the only thing that's going to be attractive. The crazier, the better, because you can always bring it down.
I will say I was pretty close.
If it's impossible, it's probably better.
Borders closing was pretty sad. Like, I just remember that all they had left was like Sarah Palin books, and then the last thing I ever bought in Borders was a decorative frame. And then I was like, this is the death of books. I'm not even buying a book. Oh, and I bought a lip gloss, too.
Maybe what we should do is cut so much crap out there, too. That would be great. But I'm not saying. We're all living digitally at this point. Except for music.
I remember you were telling me about like the young kids you were filming that were digital. or they had kids without digital. They had like an option of like digital versus book, and they had no interest in books. And everyone, all the librarians that I've talked to about the younger generation, they say that kids have no interest in books, but
they love stories though.
They do. So there is hope out there for literacy. It's just a different method of connecting.
It's surprising. Kids are reading more than ever, but they're just not holding books. More people are reading, I feel. More people are smarter.
Books, the more books that are going to come out in the future are going to be super interactive.
Why not?
Like, there's going to be sound in there, animation, crazy colors, and like flipping of pages. It's still going to be a book. It's just going to be a different type of book.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm sorry to say, Al, that like it's, you know, it's in decline, but stories are not in decline. You know, it's a medium, it's a format, but stories, man. Stories, keep it together. But if you love that, I'd say develop that book idea, because I'll buy it. Because that's what people want. They love the turning of the pages. No one loves paper cuts. There you go. Happy birthday, Carolyn.
Thanks, Joe. 1 year older.
1 year older.
Yet timeless.
So guys, if you have any more questions for us, give us a contact. You'll find our contact on astrayproductions.com, curls-studio.com, and always we're bringing this to you free, but it doesn't mean you can't buy stuff from us. That's the best way to support. So I hope you guys enjoyed this show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Subscribe to us on iTunes. Find us on Twitter, AstrayJ, at AstrayJ, at Karen Bilevsky on Twitter. And maybe you can find us on Facebook, too. But until then, let's do it again. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn. See you next week.
Stay positive, everybody.